Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
All right, so we were talking about the Russia situation, and it's absolutely fascinating. As I mentioned, Karen Moen from News 24 wrote an incredible piece that goes into a lot of the history around this somewhat bizarre relationship. But it finds itself, this relationship, at, I think, a very, very strange point. And I keep getting the feeling, and maybe I'm a conspiracy theorist, which I'm actually really not, that Russia is pushing South Africa further away, almost intentionally trying to drive this wedge between South Africa and the West. The fact that they openly spoke about these talks happening in Russia, where South Africans said, oh no, it's more about peace. Russia saying, no, it's about war readiness. What is really going on there? Karen, a very good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you today?
Thanks for having me, Howard. I'm great.
So there's definitely something going on, and I feel like South Africa are useful idiots in some ways.
Well, I mean, obviously there is this very long history with the ANC and the Soviet Union. You know, when the Western nations were actively, you know, engaging in a sort of in a dialogue with the apartheid state, the Soviet Union was, I think, the only country in the world that was arming the ANC. Mm-hmm. But they, you know, and oftentimes the explanation that you get for that is, you know, this is what informs the ANC's attitude now. But I think that to look at the current, the context that immediately informs our current situation, things like the nuclear deal, things like the BRICS alliance, things that we, like, you know, I've been extremely hypocritical in our kind of geopolitical positions around so-called invasions in certain states, but, you know, then blaming NATO in others. And, I mean, the ANC's resolution in that elective conference in December, which is, I think, what sparked a lot of this deep concern from the U.S. about actually blaming the U.S. for the Russia-Ukraine conflict, I think was really when it started getting into the realms of potentially very, very geopolitically and economically precarious for us. And we are going to, you know, especially with the BRICS summit happening in August, I think the lines are going to become more and more firmly drawn, and they may not be in the interest of the South African people.
And I saw, I mean, it was a study done, it was a survey done at the end of last year, so it's not that current, but I'm pretty sure it hasn't changed much, that South Africans are overwhelmingly critical of Russia and supportive of Ukraine in this, whereas the government, the ANC government or party, is completely out of step with that. They are obviously, no matter what they profess about neutrality, it's simply not true.
I think the other thing that's very important is that, you know, if you look at something like Twitter, for instance, you know, there was a FT story, which I referenced in that piece, you know, that in February this year, that looked at the levels of Russia propaganda and misinformation on social media. And South Africa was, in Africa, was one of the most profoundly affected. We had a story recently about Jacob Zuma's daughter, Dudu Sambudla Zuma, being at the forefront of pro-Kremlin messaging and propaganda. You know, we saw, and it's not just the ANC, by the way. It's the EFF as well.
Yes,
we've
I see
seen
that.
A profound shift in the EFF. The EFF used to be extremely concerned, critical of the Zuma administration's attempts to do a nuclear deal with Russia. We know the story of that. You know, 1 trillion rand would have had massive economic and geopolitical implications for us. But they were very critical of it. You know, Floyd Shabambu was sending questions to Malusi Gigaba about it. And then we saw this profound flip where during COVID we see the EFF marching, demanding that we use Sputnik vaccines, you know, in circumstances where there were clear question marks over the testing of those vaccines. We see them now, you know, Julius Malema gave an interview with Sizwe and Paul Walsh yesterday, and he came out and said overwhelmingly that they're pro Russia and that they blame Ukraine for the war and the incredible casualties that are being inflicted on innocent human beings. I mean, that should, you know, we're in an environment now where we're talking about the EFF possibly being kingmakers with that very firmly RET-aligned aspect of the ANC. That is not coincidental. And if that happens, we are looking at a very, very profound, overtly pro-Kremlin shift, even more than it is at the moment, in our geopolitical positioning. And that could have profound implications. We also know that, you know, there has been Russian sponsorship, in the ANC, of political party funding. So, and the betrayal of the Promise Report, Mark Swilling came out in 2017 and said, you know, that they believed that the ANC had got huge amounts of money for their election campaign in 2016 from Russia. So I think us as citizenry should be rightly concerned, and we should be rightly concerned about why, in circumstances where those factions are so overtly critical of the US, they seem completely unable to critique Russia in any way, shape, or form. And I think that blanket, unthinking, unquestioning support is very, very concerning. And I think it speaks to something that, you know, that may raise a lot of questions about why that's happening. Why is there this reluctance to be more even-handed in the critique of Russia?
And very, very dangerous. And I really do believe it's a deliberate provocation, this whole discussion around Putin coming to South Africa in August, placing South Africa in an unacceptably difficult position. Friends don't do that, right? You know, if we invited to something, or we can go to a function of a friend, but we know it's going to make them uncomfortable, well, then maybe we find a reason not to go. Not the case here. It seems to be this is the test for South Africa.
Well, I mean, we had this situation with the Sudanese president, Omar al-Bashir. We all know what happened there, where we really brought rule of law, which is one of the things that we still happen to hold in place, to the brink. Nicole Fritz, for example, has written very interestingly on the fact that South Africa was, you know, it was interesting because I was at this press conference where, you know, Sibi Mofamadi, et cetera, going on about how we had implemented the Rome Statute and the U.S. had not. And, you know, that sense of our own kind of superiority in doing so, there may be legal mechanisms available for us, you know, in regards to Putin. I know they're seeking legal advice, but it is going to rob us of any kind of moral or ethical authority, because, you know, we have been, you know, the critique of the U.S., which doesn't implement the Rome Statute, et cetera, is very ill-founded, because we've done exactly what we have accused others of, and we've changed the rules according to the person involved. I mean, a lot of people within government have said to me, no, you know, but arresting Putin would amount to a declaration of war. No other country would do it. These legal mechanisms exist in the UK, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, everything needs to be seen within its context. And I think, you know, what was fascinating for me is straight after we have these promises of an independent inquiry into this, you know, occurrence that happened in Simonstown last year with the Lady R, we see the Russian Defense Force releasing a statement in English, which is always very telling, saying that South Africa's military is in Moscow to discuss combat readiness. And the Department of International Relations and Cooperation firmly saying on the record, we have nothing to do with this. We don't, you know, we're not involved.
That was deliberate. There was no question that that was either trying to embarrass South Africa or push them further into to a position where they have to make it clear where they stand. And Russia, hoping it will stand to South Africa, will be more overtly supportive, even though I'm not really sure how much more supportive they can be in terms of visits and military op drills, and saying that we would welcome Putin here. It's absolutely bizarre. What is more bizarre to me, and unfortunately we are almost out of time, but what is more bizarre is that how little the ANC seems to care that they are not reflecting the sentiment of South Africans.
Well, I mean, the reality is that we're economically in a very dire situation. Russia is not a trading partner to us. America and China are. And China certainly has been, you know, quite cautious. I mean, it's obviously part of the BRICS alliance, but it certainly has not gone to the extent that South Africa has gone in terms of seemingly showing this kind of military support with naval exercises on the anniversary of the Ukraine invasion, this, you know, combat readiness discussion, which we say is a goodwill visit, et cetera, et cetera. And if we lose AGOA, that's 400 billion rand worth of trade.
Of trade, yeah.
And, you know, I think America diplomacy is a fine art. It's what's said and what's not said. But they, you know, they clearly do not trust us. And I think we know that because they didn't provide, you know, they say they have intelligence about that, situation, which, I mean, we don't know what happened there exactly. But they haven't handed it over to us. And I would ask the question, why? You know, how would you go on record saying something like that and not be prepared to hand the intelligence over? Cynical people may say, oh, well, they never had it. You know, they're just trying to shake the tree.
I very much doubt that, yeah.
Or you have a situation where they do have it. They don't want to provide it to South Africa because they simply don't trust us. And that, for me, is profoundly concerning.
Absolutely. Karen Mohan, who is a legal journalist and analyst at News 24, giving us some perspective around the South Africa-Russia situation. Thank you, Karen, for that.